Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You are listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1, KGMZ San Francisco, the radio home of the Golden State Warriors. And we're going to bring you up here. It's the Butcher Shop. I'm Joe Shasky on 95.7 The Game. We're going to lead you right up to 11:30 for the Pro Bowl. Who's betting on the Pro Bowl? 888-957-9570. 95795 on the Chilton Auto Body text line. If you are, go seek help. Go seek help. I'm really interested to see Mr. Fortenbaugh, who is our gambling guy here at 95.7 The Game. I want to see about all his prop bets. I can't wait to see those. I really can't wait to see those. And here's a good one. Here's a really good one on the Chilton Auto Body text line from the 408. What about Tyrell Williams from San Diego? He's 6'4 with 4'4 speed and separation is what Shanahan likes. That's a great name. And the cost on that would be very, very, very friendly. I still think you'd have to overpay given what his production's been. But I like that. Tyrell Williams, that is a good suggestion. Big bodied receiver. They have Mike Williams. They'll probably let him walk. They clearly have Keenan Allen as the number one locked in. I think he does walk, and I think that's a great, great suggestion. I really like that from the 408. Great suggestion. They just need a big body receiver. And I hear people say, oh, pass rush, pass rush. Yes, pass rush is a need. So is wide receiver. And I think an argument can be made in this era, given what they're facing next year, if Jimmy struggles, wide receiver is as big, if not more important, for the health of Jimmy Garoppolo, for the sustainability of Kyle Shanahan's offense, to finally evaluate what the heck Jimmy truly is. I need to get him weapons. I need to get him weapons. And I know people are infatuated with drafting Nick Bosa or Josh Allen or whomever, Quinnen Williams, you know, to get more D-line help. And I'm all for that. But I do need to make a splash in free agency. I do need to swing a trade for a proven commodity so that if I draft a receiver in the second, third, fourth round, I'm not asking that guy to come in right away and start. Look who they had at wide receiver to end the year last year. You had under 1,000 career yards out there. You had like Trent Taylor and Kendrick Bourne and Dante Pettis, all guys I like, but no proven I have to double you or bracket you with a safety type of an impact wide receiver. And the 510 is asking me, since we've been talking Brady and we've been talking Tom Brady, the GOAT, Joe Montana. How about Joe Montana and the weed? Joe Montana invested in medical marijuana this week. Good for him. Good for him. And Joe's all about that dough. I don't blame him. You know Joe's going to try to get that return on investment. That's interesting. I was a little disappointed in Joe Montana. Look, I get it. He played for the Chiefs. But for him to show up for the playoff game and he's waving the flag, the Chief flag back and forth. Because, you know, when you think of Montana, you think of those 2.5, 3 years of him as a Chief, rocking number 19. It bugs me because Joe didn't want to come to the last game at Candlestick, the real game, not the flag football game that he put on so he can make some more money. The real last game at Candlestick. It bugs me that he didn't want to show up for that, but yet he'd show up for Kansas City's things. It's just, come on, Joe. Now, in fairness, years have passed, and he showed up for the Dwight Clark ceremony this year, the statue unveiling, which was awesome. That was great. That was absolutely great. I'm glad he was there. But to see him in it on the Chiefs stadium, it's like, come on. And I don't want to hear anybody, oh, Joe, it's Joe. He can get away with it. Nah, sorry. Sorry.
Can't do it.
Thank you. Do it again?
Can't do it.
Nope, not at all, Sing. That's what I'm talking about. That's my man right there, Mike Singletary. The 49ers have struggled in the red zone during the Kyle Shanahan era for a combination of reasons. They don't have playmakers. They haven't had healthy quarterbacks. And I also think systematically, the way Kyle Shanahan's system is, It's all about stretching people. And if you notice, he's super, super efficient in between the 20s. But when he gets into the red zone, because they don't have the space and it's a compacted area, they have a really difficult time, quote unquote, scheming guys open for red zone touchdowns. When you get into those tight spaces, it becomes more not about X's and O's, but about having studs and Joes, right? That's what it's about. And we're going to have Steve Berman of The Athletic, Bay Area sports guy, join us in about 20 minutes at the bottom of the hour. I'm going to continue to ask the question. Bryce Harper, Manny Machado, is baseball dead? Do people care? These are the two best free agents since Alex Rodriguez, and nobody cares. But what is the path for the 49ers to get back to the playoffs, people? 888-957-9570, 957-0-95 on the Chilton Auto Body text line. Who do they need to get? Is it Nick Bosa? Is that it? Nick Bosa is just going to come here and they're all of a sudden going to be a top 15 defense? Eh. They still need cornerbacks. They still need safety help. They still need another linebacker. I want to target Earl Thomas. I think we need him. I really think we need him. They need a safety who's legit. I still think I'd like to see them bring back Eric Armstead. I know it's a $9, $10 million hit, but you got a lot of money. And we're not in a position to let contributors walk out the door. They let Earl Mitchell go this week. Earl Mitchell is not a better player than DJ Jones at this point in his career. I like Earl Mitchell. I don't think the defensive staff knew exactly how to utilize him in the last year and a half. He was dropping into coverage. Remember that Dallas game last year? He dropped into coverage like five times. Why? If you're 330, why would I ever drop you into coverage? What are we doing? But DJ Jones is just there's way more upside. And the guy is a freak and he needs to play. And I think he's one of the draft picks in the later rounds that I think is going to hit. I really like that they got Julian Taylor a lot of run toward the end of the season. Clearly, DeForest Buckner being the first 49er to get double-digit sacks since Aldon Smith in like 2012. I mean, that was a big year from DeForest Buckner on a team that was really bad. Really bad. But their secondary needs a lot of help. Tavarius Moore got to play. He made a play in the Bears game late, knocking the ball out of Allen Robinson's hands. But I don't want to fall victim into believing that what I saw over the last three or four games of the year is something I can quantify and count on for the regular season, because I fell victim to that with Jimmy Garoppolo the year prior. And I just didn't see it. I just didn't see it. From the 408, I'd like to get Antonio's nephew, Hollywood Brown, with the second round pick. I think he would be better fit with Pettis. I agree. Hollywood Brown is a baller. You guys seen him in college? He making plays. The other guys that I'm looking at, there's a couple of Mississippi wide receivers, and I'm telling you right now, if I had my druthers, I would pick DK Metcalf. I would trade back into the first round, or if we're trading back, maybe we trade with the Raiders and we take two of their later, first round picks. I don't know, but get creative. Get me DK Metcalf. Missed a lot of time this year with Mississippi because of a neck injury. He's like 6'4", 220, 230. Looks like a monster. He looks like a cross between Mike Evans and Julio Jones. That's the kind of player I need. I need a big-bodied receiver who can provide multiplicity to this wide receiver core. Trent Taylor's little. Dante Pettis is kind of slight of build. He's not a big, big, big guy. I think he's going to put on some weight. But they need a big-body receiver so that we can get some catch radius. We can start maximizing these throws that Jimmy's chucking up in the air. And you can't rely on Marquise Goodwin to be healthy and available for 16 games, fair or not, regardless of what's happened off the field. He just hasn't been available for us. And when he's played, it's been a big-time hit and miss. And him going out, Marquise Goodwin, in the first half of that Minnesota game, it was a bad omen, and it set back the offense big time because they relied on him so heavily. Disproportionately, I would argue. There was this narrative that him and Jerick McKinnon, they were going to be our lead dogs and take us to the playoffs. Uh-uh. You're relying on two journeymen? Really? They're not superstars. Look around the league. Todd Gurley is a superstar. He's carrying them to the playoffs. David Johnson still is a superstar, not to the level of Todd Gurley. He's really, really good, and Christian Kirk had a better rookie year than my boy Dante Pettis. And they still got the Rosen one down there in Arizona. He's got a new coach. It's going to be interesting to see. And then up in Seattle, you still got Russ and Pete. And we saw with Baldwin. We saw with Tyler Lockett. We saw with their trio of running backs. They're not going away anytime soon. And as long as they got Bobby Wagner in the middle of that defense, they're a formidable force. They're absolutely a formidable force. I still like AJ Green. I really like him. I think the cost to bring him in is insignificant. I think he screams, I need a change of location. I need to be in a different uniform with a different quarterback under center. The scary thing for the 49ers is that I feel like I've seen more of Nick Mullins than Jimmy Garoppolo. I still don't necessarily know what Jimmy Garoppolo is. And we can make all these assumptions, and I'll be the first to admit, I fell victim to it. I watched every single one of those six starts that he made, five starts down the stretch. I rewatched him and rewatched him. I said, man, he's just making throws, and he was making big-time throws. But the same could be said for Derek Carr and so many other quarterbacks who have ups and downs and what we might want to call an outlier. You know, succeeding late in the season when other teams aren't taking you serious. I didn't put a whole lot of stock in that because I thought Jimmy, he was playing for everything he needed. But just seeing how it started off last year and him throwing that pick six that got called back against Detroit, they easily could have been 0-3 in the three games that Jimmy played the majority of. Easily. And I'm not saying this as a hater. I'm the biggest Jimmy fan there is as far as the player. I love what I see, but I don't necessarily know that you can count on him yet until he proves it. And I think that that's fair. And I'm hearing people locally talk about, what do the Raiders need? I'm telling you, if I'm the Raiders, and you know what? If I'm wrong, I'll be the first to admit it. But if I'm the Raiders and I'm moving to a new area and I need cachet, I'm drafting Kyler Murray. We're going to continue this draft talk and all this conversation. We're going to get back to the Warriors and the Celtics. Boogie, Kyrie, Curry, Brad Stevens, Steve Kerr. Oh, my God. Kevin Durant, Mark Jackson, Van Gundy. We're going to talk about it all. At the bottom of the hour, we got Steve Berman from The Athletic. Stay with us here at The Butcher Shop. 95.7, The Game.
He always calls us after games. At the end of the game, I don't ever critique Tommy. He can have his coaches critique him. As far as I'm concerned and his brother's concerned, he's never thrown a bad pass. If the ball's been intercepted, somebody else made a mistake.
Now back to The Butcher Shop on 95.7 The Game. Here's Joe Shasky.
Yes, 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 I'm Joe Shasky. That was Tom Brady Sr. talking about how, in his eyes, his son has never thrown a bad pass. And I coach a lot of kids. And I think that that is something that if you're a parent of an athlete, of a kid, you know, have a little perspective. You know, you don't need to ride them so hard. And I'm not saying that every parent does that. But every now and then we all fall victim to maybe over-criticizing our kid's performance at 11 years old, at 10 years old, at 15 years old. And this is somebody who his son's in his 40s and he doesn't even critique him. And so I found that very refreshing. And it's something that you can kind of put in the back pocket if you're a parent or if you're a coach. You know, remember, at the end of the day, these are still kids. And if you're into golf, he mentioned Mr. Brady. And I know no one cares about golf but myself. But Mr. Brady said he played in the Marin Catholic Golf Tournament right now at Torrey Pines in San Diego. And I'll keep it short and sweet. We have Justin Rose, Adam Scott, John Rahm in the final pairing. Torrey Pines, San Diego. We got Pebble in 2 weeks, boys.
Hey, it's Tiger.
My boy Tiger! Oh, yeah, he got ejected early. I mean, he's nowhere close.
I need you to do me a huge favor.
Yeah, I need you to do me a huge favor. Tune in to 95.7 The Game all week. We are 7 days away from the Super Bowl. We're going to have a huge Super Bowl preview show. Bonte Hill of the Afternoon Delight. Myself, Joe Shasky. I'm kind of I guess I'm the fill-in guy. I don't even know why they let me in the building, but they're going to have me. I work cheap, that's why. And they're going to have Bonte in here, and we're going to do a really good job trying to, you know, talk up this Super Bowl. Not that it needs more talking up, but we had Tom Brady Sr. on. Tom Brady's going for his sixth Super Bowl win in his ninth appearance. Jared Goff, the Marin Catholic local boy, clashing against the Sarah High School legend. This is going to be an awesome Super Bowl. It's young versus old, the new team to the NFL as far as moving into LA, trying to build more cachet. I know a lot of NorCal fans don't want to root for Brady. I know a lot of NorCal fans never want to root for anything LA. I'm curious. You know, I know we're 7 days out. Who are you guys rooting for? The Pats or the Rams? 888-957-9570 and get in on the Chilton Auto Body text line, 95795. And my boy Sportacus hit me up on Twitter, and he said, I don't understand the infatuation with A.J. Green when we're talking about A.J. and Antonio Brown. Antonio Brown's clearly the better player. He's not as hurt. A.J. Green misses games, and he's kind of soft. And I hear him, and I get that. But not every transaction is always about who's the better player right now. It's also about what's the fit going to be like? How does he blend into my offense? What is the cost? You know, if you buy two pieces of real estate in the same location, approximately, and one's better than the other as far as, you know, the bones of that particular piece of real estate, it doesn't matter if there's dry rot here and there. You could still fix those things. And it might be a better long-term investment. So not all of these investments and these trades and these acquisitions are created equal. I need to know how much it costs on the front end, and I need to know what kind of player I'm going to have on the back end. And then how is that going to fit within my roster? And let's go to San Jose. Big Jose in San Jose. What do you got on the Patriots Super Bowl? Step right up. No waiting, Jose.
Hey, Bush boy, thanks for taking my call. Hey, you know, I'm a Raiders fan my whole life. So I have three dilemmas here. You know, the last team to win a Super Bowl, the only team to win a championship in L.A., my Raiders. And I never referred to them as Los Angeles Raiders. They were just the Raiders then. And then, you know, it's the whole thing about the Rams and the Niners, the NFC rivals, and being a Raiders fan, I'm a little bit, you know, edgy against the Niners. You know, the Niner fan, because you see. So I guess it's going to kill me to say this, but I'm not rooting for anyone, but I'd rather see Tom Brady win. Just wow. So that way I can kind of give a little more stick to the Niners argument about Joe Montana and Tom Brady without argument being, the, you know, the GOAT.
I love that. Hey, Big Jose, before you get out of here, if the Raiders drafted Kyler Murray 4 overall, would you love it or hate it?
I would hate it.
Really? So you still got faith in Derek Carr, huh?
I have faith in Derek Carr, and I really like that edge rusher.
Okay.
From Clemson.
Fair enough. Awesome. I like that. Thanks, Jose. Call in anytime to the Butcher Shop. We really appreciate that. We got Steve Berman from The Athletic, Barry, a sports guy. He covers the Warriors, the Giants, the 49ers, and media in general. And he was one of the first people who I looked up to when I didn't have a podcast, when I was just calling into radio stations. This guy created a website, a blog, if you will, on his own, and kind of pushed himself into the mainstream media. And so I have a ton of respect for him, and I'm really interested in what he thinks on the Warriors, the 49ers, the Giants. Bryce Harper is still available. Pitchers and catchers are going to report in 2 or 3 days. But let's continue the NFL Super Bowl talk, because we're 7 days away. We had Tom Brady Sr. on. Let's go to Victor in San Mateo, the home of the Brady family. Victor, step right up, no waiting. Who do you got in the Super Bowl this week?
Hey, what's up, man? Fan of the show. I'm definitely going for Brady. He is from San Mateo, born and raised. He is a big, big San Mateo fan, and definitely going to be going for the Patriots this weekend.
I love it. I love it, Victor. And are you a Niner fan or a Raider fan?
Definitely a Niner fan. You know, a lot of Raiders fans already like Brady. And of course, I'm also from the Bay Area, so, you know, we don't really like any L.A. teams.
Thank you.
Definitely the 49ers don't like the Rams.
Absolutely. I love it. Thank you, Victor. I really appreciate it. Enjoy your Sunday. And I hear him. I'm not rooting for the Rams for many reasons. That's the longest rival of the 49ers, going back to 1946, the inception of the San Francisco 49ers, has been the Los Angeles Rams. They both played in the AAFL, a.k.a. the AAFC. And when they got absorbed by the NFL wanted to bring in the Los Angeles Rams for obvious reasons. The cachet, the stadium, everything. They had huge fan bases. They needed a geographical rival. And so they allowed the 49ers into the NFL. Were it not for the Rams, the 49ers may not exist to this day. And the NorCal-SoCal rivalry, it went away for a little while when they went to St. Louis. But in my heart, it never left. It never left, and I've always rooted against him. Now, I still like Jared Goff. I wanted the Niners to get Jared Goff. I was furious. Tom Sula won that meaningless game at the end of the year when they didn't suit up Todd Gurley against Jeff Fisher and the Rams, and that gave the Rams higher draft pick ammunition to move up in the draft and go get Jared Goff from Cal, from Marin Catholic. Yeah, thanks, Tom Sula. Thanks. That's my favorite. People, he won five games. Yeah, one of them they gave to him. They literally gave him that game. And they were celebrating like, oh.
I don't know the facts.
Obviously. That's Tom Sula. Steve Berman going to join us about 5 minutes here of The Athletic. It's pretty unreal the quarterback impact this area has had on the NFL landscape. I mean, if you really think about it, going back all the way to Frankie Albert, the first 49er great quarterback of Stanford, all of the legends that came through Stanford from Jim Plunkett, Andrew Luck, John Elway, the Bill Walsh trees, and all the different quarterbacks that him and his staff have been associated with, Brett Favre, again John Elway when it comes to Mike Shanahan. So many different guys out there. Mike Holmgren, what he did in Green Bay, in Seattle, Matt Hasselbeck, all those different guys. Not that he's anywhere in that conversation, but it's just incredible. And then you have Tom Brady, obviously, taking it to a whole nother level. And now this young whippersnapper, the number one overall pick, the guy who I doubted, everyone doubted. I was looking at Jared Goff, I said, this guy's a bust. He just don't got it. And you know what? I was wrong. He needed the right coaching. He needed the right situation around him. And 408, thank you from the Chilton Autobite. I always neglect to bring up John Brody, the original number 12 locally. John Brody, just one of the true badasses who gets forgotten in 49er lore from the 70s because of how great Montana was, eclipsing him. And then after him, it was Steve Young. And then Niner fans didn't appreciate Jeff Garcia. I mean, let's be totally honest. We discredited Jeff Garcia at every single turn, myself included. And my dad and his group of friends, oh, Steve will never be Joe. And then Alex Smith comes around and, oh, he'll never be Steve. And then Kaepernick, he'll never be anything. And now Jimmy. But what does Jimmy need to get back to the playoffs? He needs to stay healthy and he needs a team around him. Because I'm looking at that Rams team that you're going to have to face two times a year for the next however many years. And the guy who you could have hired as your head coach in Sean McVay. They got a tall task, the 49ers have, of even getting back to the playoffs. I mean, at this point, I'll take an 8-8 season. Give me 8-8. Sign me up. And we're going to continue the Celtic-Warrior talk. Because last night, that was a great game. Absolutely great game. 115-111, the Warriors win. Kevin Durant has 3.5 great quarters. And then in the final, like 3.5 minutes, like, what are you doing? Just horrible ISO shots. Steph barely touching the ball. The big turnover. But the Warriors defense was fantastic. Draymond Green, DeMarcus Cousins. I actually thought Andre Iguodala was very active in last night's game. I don't know if the box score is going to indicate it because he only had 1 point. But you could tell by how he's jumping and how he's rebounding and kind of how he's defending. I thought he was very active last night. Alphonso McKinney, once again, having a big game, even though it doesn't show up in the box score. Sean Livingston, although he missed that dunk late, I did want him to put that dunk back in. And I know that the narrative is already starting to build when it comes to the Warriors about DeMarcus Cousins not playing in the final few minutes. Look, dude, that death lineup was ready to go last night. Iggy, Durant, Draymond, Clay, and Steph. And they closed that thing out with defense. And there's going to be other matchups as we progress to the playoffs where it's going to be more advantageous to play DeMarcus, a.k.a. Boogie Cousins. But last night wasn't that night. And Kyrie, I've said this to open the show at 8 o'clock, and I'll continue to say it. I fear Kyrie Irving with the ball in his hand more than anyone in the NBA right now as a Warrior fan. Now, I know that the numbers can be quantified and probably tell me, oh, he's not that efficient. But that's fine. You can't quantify the fear in my heart. And whenever Kyrie touches the ball, I assume he's going to hit a circus shot with Clay, Draymond, and three other guys draped all over him. Okay, so we've got him. We got my man from The Athletic, a guy who launched Bay Area Sports Guy, the website, kind of catapulted himself into the mainstream media, someone I have a tremendous amount of respect for. We've conversed over Twitter. Never had him on my show. I said, one day I'm going to have my own show. As I told him years ago, he probably thought I was crazy. I said, Steve, I'm going to get you on. And I'm really happy and thrilled to welcome Steve Berman of The Athletic, Bay Area sports guy. How you doing on this beautiful Sunday morning, Steve?
Oh, I'm doing great, man. Glad to finally actually talk to you instead of just tweets, DMs. And I do remember when you told me that. I didn't think you were crazy. I just thought maybe the program director would say no or the powers that be. But good to finally talk to you.
I'm the Trojan horse. I'm behind enemy lines, man. It's pretty incredible. Going back to the Warriors last night, because we've been kind of stuck on this. You know, it was a great game last night. I loved watching just the Celtics, Kyrie, Brad Stevens, Horford versus this Warrior team. But I rewatched the game immediately, and I'm looking at that starting five just for the first like 6 minutes. It feels like the greatest starting five in the history of the game, with the USA Dream Team notwithstanding. I mean, is this surreal to be where we are right now as Warriors fans watching this run?
Yeah, with DeMarcus actually looking like a viable, maybe not star at this point yet because he's still getting his legs under him, but still one of the most skilled big men in the league. Probably him and Jokic, I think, would probably be the two guys I would put together on that in that realm. It's hard to think about any other starting five I've ever seen.
Yep. He might have cut out. That's all right. We'll try to get him back. No worries. Steve Berman of The Athletic cut out there. We'll get him right back on the line. I don't know what happened there. But he's right. Boogie is the man, and I'm going to lead him into a Steph Curry question because I have a legitimate Steph Curry question. As far as Bay Area all-time greats, I truly believe when his career is over that Steph Curry will be the greatest Bay Area athlete, most beloved of all time. When we talk about the statistics, when we talk about his place in the game, the impact, the championships, what he did for the franchise. And I think there's a couple of people you can argue for, depending on who you are, who you root for. It could be the Oakland A's' Ricky Henderson, although he played a lot of other places besides the Bay Area. But I think he deserves to be in this conversation. I could say Barry Bonds, but there's a lot of people that don't like Barry Bonds. There's Jerry Rice, played for both the Raiders and the Niners. So there's a lot of people that respect and love Jerry Rice. And then there's Joe Montana. But if you're not a Niner fan, I can see why you'd chip away at the Joe Montana thing. Steve, you back on the line, buddy?
Yes, I am.
Perfect.
About that, I don't know what happened.
It's all good, bro. I'm talking about Steph Curry and his place in the Bay Area pantheon. He's going to go up for his fourth title this year, which would match Joe Montana. His impact to the Warriors organization, it's almost impossible to describe if you didn't live through it. And I know you and I lived through it. Where do you have him right now? I know he's in the middle of his career. Where do you have him as far as his place in the all-time Bay Area sports impact spots?
Well, it's hard, honestly, at this point, now with Brady making such a great case to actually be the GOAT in his own right, not to put Steph number one at this point. It sounds insane, but I think that the tarnished legacy of Bonds has hurt him in that respect, and he never won a title. I think none of the Giants who won those three titles you can really put up there. Willie Mays really was more of a New York favorite. Willie McCovey was actually a bigger favorite in San Francisco, and it's hard to say that any one of those players from those 49er teams has the same impact as the best player on a team that only plays like 10 guys.
That's so true. So true. And it's what's crazy to me is that, you know, quietly, I know NBA Twitter for Warriors fans, they want to rip Steve Kerr at every turn. I mean, if he wins a title this year, he will eclipse Bill Walsh with four championships. He'll eclipse Bruce Bochy with four championships total. Billy Martin, name whoever you want. He will have more titles in the Bay Area than all of these guys. I guess the Cal coach for rugby notwithstanding. I mean, are we just sleeping on Steve Kerr and how great of a coach he is, or do we dilute his accomplishments because of how great the team is?
I think it's both, because he really did fall into an amazing situation. I think Mark Jackson was such an offensively stunted coach and with ideas that just didn't work for the team, all the Harrison Barnes ISOs and all the other stuff that drove Warriors fans crazy. And you know, I think I remember I heard that Andrew Bogut once set off the record, something like a dog could have coached this team to 47 wins. Then Kerr comes in, and they're just incredible. However, I think that if Phil Jackson was coaching the Bulls and Lakers during when Twitter was around, it would be a lot of the same stuff, because I think that there's a lot of the team chemistry stuff and a lot of the processes that are similar to what Popovich did. I think Kurt takes Lute Olson, Popovich, and Phil Jackson. And Phil Jackson, if you watch the Bulls and Lakers, he could do some infuriating things, especially during the regular season, where it seemed like he would throw away games to prove a point. He would sit and not call a timeout forever. He would be stubborn. And then, you know, when it was really, really necessary, he would unleash whatever strategic thing that he thought would actually win, and almost every time it worked. Kerr's kind of the same way. Everyone wants to see Steph with the ball in his hands doing pick and roll. And Kerr waited until the very last moment to do it in the playoffs. And I think that there's a lot of it to be said for Kerr's idea about the bigger picture. And I think that when Twitter's not big picture, Twitter is, no. I just saw a play happen in front of me. I'm either very happy about it or I'm outraged.
That's my whole show, though, Steve, right? I mean, that's my shtick in a nutshell. I got Steve Berman of The Athletic with us. Bay Area sports guy, does a great job covering the media, covering the teams. And you were one of the guys that honestly was an inspiration for people like me to want to get into the game, if you will, of talking about our teams. And I'm curious about the Giants, because baseball is 2 weeks around. We know the Giants are king, at least in the last 10 years or so, locally. Are you surprised as I am that they haven't made any moves and that Bryce Harper and Manny Machado, 2 weeks from pitchers and catchers reporting, remain unsigned?
It's obviously some sort of Peter Ueberoth-esque collusion, right? I mean, it just looks like the baseball owners took a look at the trends and said, we can't keep paying these 10-year $200 million plus contracts anymore and survive, as TV ratings are slowly going downward. And I think baseball's really saving grace at this time is that it's probably the best one for families to attend. And now it's getting so expensive that a lot of families are getting priced out.
Great point.
I don't really think that the teams are even worried about it. I think they're holding steady to an idea of the players are going to crumble at some point. And that's going to lead to a work stoppage for sure. Whenever the next collective bargaining agreement's up, I think it's maybe 2 years. And I think also you look at Machado as an acquired taste, because, I mean, really, he's just obviously just weird and kind of a jerk on the field. Did a lot of weird stuff on national television during the World Series and the postseason. But and Bryce Harper, you know, he's a sort of a polarizing figure as well. But they're both young superstars, so you figure somebody would pay, because, I mean, people used to give up crazy money for guys like Aaron Rowand. And so it's, Giants included there for sure. Gary Zito. I mean, and so I think the rest of all the teams are sort of holding strong. But what it's doing is, I mean, they're pretty much doing the opposite of what the NBA does. This is the most boring offseason of all time. No one's talking about anyone moving around. And that really, I think, stunts the growth of the league.
I totally agree. We got Steve Berman on from The Athletic. Steve, one more question on baseball, and then I want to finish with the 49ers. I'm looking at Joey Bart, and I'm curious your perspective on this. Buster, I've heard really not a whole lot about where he's at health-wise. He had reconstructive hip surgery, it seems like. I don't think he's going to be ready for April. Because the catching position for an offensive catcher is like running back in the NFL, don't you think we should see Joey Bart at some point early next year? Or would you subject him to this, you know, archaic specific amount of innings in the minor leagues where he could be exposed to injury?
Well, I don't really know enough about how he handles pitchers, and I don't really know enough about his defense. I know that he can hit the ball a long way. He's got a lot more power than Posey. And Posey, I think you're right. I mean, the Giants definitely give you a little bit of information on injuries as possible. I don't know how many guys they've said, oh, yeah, he's on track to come back at so-and-so date, and then, like, they don't come back until 8 weeks later or even longer sometimes. Their season's over. So I don't really have much confidence either that Posey, after such a crazy surgery on such an important part of the body for someone who squats all day, is going to be coming back soon. But I also am not sure, with this team not really built to contend now, is going to want to just rush Joey Bart to the majors
just because of the innings portion of it. I think the Giants have shown over the years, maybe Farhan has a different idea about this, but I don't think that they're going to worry so much about the wear and tear on him in the minor leagues as much as making sure that he can handle a pitching staff.
That's a really good point. Steve Berman of The Athletic, Bay Area Sports Guy. Let's close with this one. How big of an offseason is this for Jimmy, for Kyle, for John Lynch, and for that organization of the 49ers? Because for me, if they can't get creative and really make a splash in the draft and in free agency, I think all three of these guys could be on the massive hot seat after the 2019 season if they don't contend for a playoff spot.
Yeah, absolutely. Lynch, I think, is probably in the most danger just because if the defense does not get better pretty quickly, I think that they're going to point the blame at him, because even though Shanahan is pretty much the guy in charge, he's the one who sort of handpicked John Lynch, you're not really thinking about Shanahan as having a whole lot of ideas about which cornerbacks and linebackers to draft, right? So, or to sign in free agency. They have a lot of cap room. I think Shanahan would be on the hot seat second just because he's the coach, and if you keep having losing seasons, inevitably, you know, in season three, for sure, you're going to have the fingers point at you, even though Trent Baalke essentially gutted the team, not even on purpose, just because of his own incompetence over the last few years, but of his tenure. Jimmy G, I think he's in a great situation regardless because he's got paid. So, yeah. I mean, in terms of a public relations standpoint or the fans' point of view, yeah, if he only plays six games and he's, you know, throws eight touchdowns and six interceptions and has just sort of a whatever year and is injury plagued again, I think the fans are going to start getting really impatient and want to look at drafting a quarterback in the next draft. But, you know, for him, I mean, that's the one thing you see about him dancing around on the stage in Vegas. I mean, I don't get too involved in, like, who's partying when and all that kind of stuff, but he's living the life. He's feeling pretty good. I mean, I do still, though, I have faith in the guy. I think that he has the physical tools, the confidence, and the makeup, and the leadership to do some really good things in the NFL. A torn ACL is just something that happens. It happened to Brady. It can happen to anybody. But if he gets nicked up again this coming year, you're right. I think people are going to start getting a little impatient with him.
Yeah, that's a great point. Steve Berman of The Athletic, Bay Area Sports Guy. You can follow him on Twitter. Steve, I just want to say on a personal level, thank you for including me in that article at the end. I'm going to self-promote for just a second. I honestly teared up because I never thought I would ever be on air, A, and then B, be acknowledged as somebody who's actually doing a decent job at this. And I appreciate it. And I really mean this sincerely. Thank you for even putting me on any list. I never, ever thought I would ever be recognized as doing a good job, to be honest with you.
Well, I only did it so I can get on your show.
At least for being real, man.
But really, though, I think that in terms of sports talk in this area, it was pretty awesome, I thought, in the 90s and maybe early 2000s. And a lot of guys are resting on their laurels these days. And so it's fun to hear someone with, you know, kind of a new energy and new way of thinking and new passion on the air. It's good to have different perspectives. Not everyone has to be above the fray all the time.
Totally.
Or just kind of mailing it all the time. So a lot of you guys on that station, I think, are really kind of giving KNBR a little bit of a scare. I probably said too much there, but
that's all right. It's all right. We're number one right now, and I appreciate you, Steve Berman of The Athletic. We got to go. I'm up against the break. Thank you for joining us. I really appreciate it. On the other side, we'll continue this baseball talk, this 49er talk. This is The Butcher Shop on 95.7 The Game.
Let's let them hear it all the way down in Atlanta. We're still here! We're still here! We're still here! We're still here! We're still here!
All right. Oh, yeah.
Now back to The Butcher Shop on 95.7 The Game. Here's Joe Shasky.
Yes. This is The Butcher Shop. We are at 95.7 The Game's beautiful studios here in downtown San Francisco. It's a gorgeous Sunday. If you're on your way coming out of church, going to soccer games. I know the St. Cecilia 6th grade girls team won the second division of CYO yesterday. Shout out to my niece, Megan, killing it out there, and the St. Cecilia's Irish. So good luck to everybody out there competing in CYO today. And we were just talking about Tom Brady all morning. We had his father on, Tom Brady Sr., and he was so generous with his time and so eloquent and open, like a book. He was telling us what's going on. And I guess they're all going to go to this Super Bowl. And he's facing Tom Brady, the Sarah boy from San Mateo. He's going to go up against the kid from Novato, the kid from Marin County, from Marin Catholic, Jared Goff, the number one overall pick. And it's going to be an exciting Super Bowl. I think there's going to be a ton to talk about. And from the 510, and this is great, we were talking about who is the most iconic Bay Area guy. And Steve Berman, who was on from The Athletic just recently, had said that, you know, Brady, and I don't consider Brady a Bay Area athlete anymore because he doesn't play here. Yes, he's from Bay Area, so, you know, he can be the GOAT. I met more guys who played the majority or entirety of their career here in the Bay Area. And from the 510, Chef Curry will be more iconic than Montana within 5 years. I think he already is, personally. You know, and I know everyone has different palates and different tastes, and they can disagree with me, which is fine. That's why it's called Sports Talk Radio. And get in line, 888-957-9570, if you disagree. But I think Curry's already there. His impact on the game, the three ball, what it's done at the youth level, what he's done with Under Armour. No one ever talks about that for the shoe game. I mean, Under Armour was a nothing brand, and Chef Curry gave it a full endorsement. And he has been basically reaping the benefits off the field and on the court better than anyone. And, you know, here's from the 415, Bill Russell is the Bay Area GOAT. Okay, again, didn't really play the majority of his professional career in the Bay Area. I hear you. I'd put him in there as well. Bill and, you know, Wilt Chamberlain's another guy who played some of his career here in the Bay Area, but he's more recognized as a Philadelphia guy. Bill Russell's more recognized, even though he's a USF boy, and you know I love my Dons, he's more of a Boston Celtic guy. Boston. Just like Brady, even though he's a Bay Area roots guy, is more of a New England Patriot, Massachusetts kind of a guy. So who's on your all-time list? Is it Montana? Is it Rice? Is it Ricky Henderson? Am I forgetting somebody? Joe Montana? Steph Curry? It used to be for an older generation, Willie McCovey. Is Barry Bonds on this list? Do you hate him? I know he should be in the Hall of Fame, but that doesn't mean you got to love him. I know a lot of people love Willie McCovey. So, again, there's a lot to digest there. But I want to really quickly, let's get to Joe in San Jose. He has some appreciation for Brady. Before we go to Joe, I'm teasing. We're going to talk baseball. I'm really frustrated about my Giants. But let's go to Joe in San Jose. Joe, what do you got Super Bowl week, Tom Brady, the GOAT conversation?
Well, I mean, for football, as far as football, I'd rather see the Rams win. See if we get some new blood, new you know, some new era of some just a different team, man. I just keep seeing the Patriots. And the reason why the Patriots win so much is because the fact is that Bill Belichick wants to win, and the players he picks want to win. They don't want money. Of course they want money, but they're not gas cans like Antonio Brown, not showing up, none of that stuff. If you're at the beginning of your career, you're gonna play to win. And at the end of your career, you're gonna play to regenerate your career. And that's just the bottom line. That's why he picks a few studs, and then the rest of them fall into place due to the fact that they are in it to win it, like you were in Pop Warner football. And, you know, if Brady wins another one, God bless, because I'm a Cowboy fan.
You're a Cowboy fan? Get this guy off the line. I love you, Joe, from San Jose. Cowboy fan? I don't want to converse with no Cowboy fans. You could call Guru, Steiny and Guru, 10 to noon, every single day, Monday through Friday, if you want to talk to delusional Cowboy fans. I'm a Niner fan. I want to talk with reasonable Niner fans. I'm teasing Joe in San Jose. Great call. From the Joe Shasky text line, my boy Richie Bologna, Sarah High Zone, he's recommending, do you put Posey and Madison Bumgarner on this beloved list? Absolutely. Absolutely. They definitely go on there, specifically Mad Bum, I think, for his postseason heroics. And I think the fact that he's a pitcher, the fact that he came back into that Game 7 and carried them to a World Series victory essentially on his own in a sport that is a massive team sport like baseball, absolutely Madison Bumgarner is on that list. And again, it's going to be personal preference. It's going to be personal preference on who you like. And really can't go wrong with any of these people. So, you know, I bet I'm going to be 25, 30 years from now, the crusty old guy that's like, yeah, insert superstar X will never be Steph Curry. I already know I'm going to be that stubborn guy like my dad is when it comes to Montana, like I am when it comes to Steve Young. And so I get that. I mean, who's on your list? I got Steph Curry number one. Everybody loves Steph. You know, one of the elements no one ever wants to bring up, he's biracial. And I think that that definitely plays in to just the fabric of the Bay Area. I think that that is something you can't really just gloss over. I think the way that he's embraced Oakland, the way he's embraced the East Bay, it's really unique. And I know Ricky Henderson is someone who's born and raised in Oakland. He is Oakland's own. It was very special for A's fans and the East Bay to have him as their dude, and he embraced them. But Curry's not even from this area. So to have him embrace Oakland, that is special. That is definitely special. And conversely, on the other side, Bonds, another San Mateo guy, another Sarah High School guy like Brady, drafted by the Giants out of high school. They couldn't come to an agreement, chose to go to Arizona State, goes to the Pirates, chooses San Francisco to come home in free agency in 1993. And his signing, and as well as Peter McGowan, who's going to be recognized this year for his contributions, they're the reason Pac Bell exists. You don't get the PSLs and the people to put down money and the corporations to want to be in business with the Giants were it not for Peter McGowan, Larry Bear, that ownership group, and also Barry Bonds. Because that cachet helped sell people on this dream of building what now would be called Oracle Park, which, oh my God, that's a whole nother conversation. Whole nother conversation. I'm here at Oracle Park. I really want to get into baseball because baseball, we're 2, 3, 4 weeks away from actual games, actual baseball games, and Manny Machado and Bryce Harper are still free agents. And in my hands, I have a Deadspin article that Gabe Osler, who did a phenomenal job booking my man Tom Brady Sr. today. It's basically an article saying, oh, look, an owner of an MLB team has brought up another excuse not to pay Bryce or Manny Machado their worth. So it looks like Astros owner Jim Crane was the latest team owner to give his opinion on why stars like Bryce Harper and Manny Machado aren't getting the blockbuster contract that I assumed and everyone else assumed they would get this offseason. And he says, I quote, I think that teams are very focused on value, and some of the deals that have been thrown out with Harper and Machado, I think, are long-term deals. I don't think that you'll see too many more 10-year deals in this business anymore because the analytics are so good and a lot of those deals never work.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.